In the first paragraph, the Rambam talks about, as we saw last week, the mitzvah of tshuva, or more precisely, the mitzvah of vidui. The second half of the parak, he begins to talk about some of the impact of tshuva in terms of kapara savonos, and he sort of works on tshuva and karbanos and how they interact. We're going to turn our attention now to the beginning of the second parak, where after talking about tshuva, tshuva in the context of vidui, tshuva in the context of kapara, he actually asks the question of what is tshuva? Pretty important question. And his answer is subtly surprising. But the first thing surprising about the question is that it takes him so long to ask it. By which I mean, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, he asks, Umahi Yatshuva? And what is tshuva? We'll take a look at his answer in a moment. But it's worth noticing that he didn't ask this question where it belonged, especially for a man who's so dedicated to precise organization and positioning. You would expect that to be Perek Beis Halacha Aleph. Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, he asks what seems like a detailed question. What's tshuva gemura? What's the most ideal tshuva of all? And he gives an answer, and then he gets to what seems like the core question. So let's begin with the core question. Perek Beis Halacha Beis, and then if we have time, maybe today or else tomorrow, we'll circle back to Halacha Aleph and forward to Halacha Gimel, to appreciate more of the picture the Rambam is painting. Let's begin with Perek Beis Halacha Beis and Hilchos Tshuva. Rambam writes, Rambam asks a question, Umo hi a tshuva? What is tshuva?
Which halacha?
Perek Beis Halacha Beis. Right over here. Perek Sheni. The big letter Beis, that's Halacha Beis. Umo hi a tshuva? What is tshuva? She yazov achote cheto v'yisirene machshavta. Rambam fits a lot into just a few lines here. So you have to read these lines with a sensitive, delicate ear. That the one who had done an avera, he abandons his chet. He lets go of his chet. Whatever that means. Sounds like a good thing to do. Let go of your chet. That sounds like what tshuva is about. Right? Get kapara. That's what it sounds like. V'yisirenu machshavto. I should take it out of my thinking. Take it out of my mind. That's a little surprising. Right? Isn't tshuva all about recognizing what you did wrong and not denying reality, not denying facts? He said, to let go of the chet and then to put it out of your mind. That seems a little anti-tshuva-ish. V'yigmor b'libo shlo yasehu ot. And you make a firm commitment not to do it again. Shenemar Yazov Rosh Hadarko Vishavin Machshavosav, a pasuk that we're going to lay in a few hours from now, the haftara for Mincha V'Tana Sibur.
Right. Does anybody know if there are any extra gemaras here?
Because you can't find a bunch of them. Help yourself. Help yourself.
Are
the ones that have names in them? They
use cider
something. Okay, thanks. Sorry. That's Lacharabah. So again, here the Rambam says, what's tshuva? Letting go of the chat, putting it out of your mind. What that means. And firm commitment not to do it again. Shenemar, pasuk from today's, this afternoon's laning. Yazov Rosh Hadarko v'yishavin machshavosav. You have a firm commitment not to do it again. And a pasuk of Yazov Rosh Hadarko. Nechem, Rabbi writes. And also, his nechem al sha'ava. You should also feel bad about the past. And towards the pasuk, yachare shubi nichamti. Yachare mi vadi safarti al yarem. After I did tshuva, I felt bad. Must have been real. What did I just say? I just dropped a bombshell. Is that what he said, Dad?
I'm saying before that you should get whatever you're talking about out of your mind in the row. I'm saying that you should stop that bombshell part and start with that.
Yeah, what's going on? Before he said you should stop thinking about your chet, and now he said it's important also to regret your chet. So which one is it? So what the Ram just dropped a bombshell. The Ram just did. Let's notice one key point, and then it sort of builds outward. We often think this is something that there is a Rashi, that or a series of Rashis in Maseches Tainis seem to indicate this. Rabbi Yona discusses as well near the beginning of Shari Tshuva, where we talk about the different segments, the different components of Tshuva. So we tend to think about Charata, and then Kabbalah Ha'asid. You feel bad about it, you recognize you did something wrong, and you feel bad about your chet, and you feel regret, you wish you'd never done it. And now let's move on to tomorrow. Let's make sure that tomorrow will be different. As Rabbi Yona presents as sort of the more usual way of looking at tshuva. If you read the Rambam carefully, and not only from a point of sequence, but from a point of importance, the Rambam turned that hierarchy on its head. The Rambam said that you should also, v'chein, also, you should feel bad about yesterday. But the core was a firm commitment about tomorrow. Yigmar b'libo, shelo yaseihu od. As a matter of fact, that's probably what the first two phrases meant also. Azivas hachet and hasar mimachshavto. Yisrael machshavto pride does not mean to forget about that there that you did. What he presumably means is you take it out of your thought patterns. You take it out of your thinking about tomorrow. You change the way you look at choices and the change the way you make decisions. You take that chet out of your plans for the future. The way the Rambam presenting it is tshuva number one is changing the way I'm going to handle things going forward. Azivas hachet, and we let go of wanting that chet, or of doing that chet, rather, and we take it out of my planning, my thinking, not forget about the fact that I did the chet yesterday. I'm taking the chet out of my options going forward. The Igmar b'libo with firm commitment not to do it again. And that's why he quotes the pasuk V'yazov Rasha Darko. V'ish Oven Machshavosav. You have the Aziva there in that pasuk. That pasuk is so familiar. You have the Machshavos. Yazov Rasha Darko, that what that pasuk stresses is it's switching tracks. It's switching which trail I'm on. Instead of being on a trail that leads to chet, I'm going to get on a different track. Not just a question of a particular activity, but switching my derech. Yazov Rasha Darko. And the parallel in Yeshayahu to the derech is the machshava. So it's clear, machshava doesn't mean remembering what I did yesterday. It means my planning for tomorrow. The ish oven should be always in his machshavas. So this whole first sentence, the Rambam, is future focused. V'chein, Rambam writes, and also yisnachem al sha'ava. And also you should regret the past. The Rambam is upending the hierarchy that we usually have, where tshuva is first and foremost to feel bad about yesterday, to klap achet about yesterday, and then the meila, I feel so bad yesterday, so I'm going to want to make sure that tomorrow is different. Rambam starts with tomorrow, and he gets to yesterday afterwards. And let's keep working through the Rambam, because he talks about next, about what's a barometer of tshuva. What will be a metric for tshuva? This is a very, very, very holy metric. Ya'ir alav yodea ta'alumos, shelo yashub l'zachet li'olam. I've done tshuva to the extent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who knows all the secrets, who knows us better than we know ourselves, that he would be made that I, this person, is not going to come back to that chet again. Wow. And then he closes the halacha by saying, don't forget, the din we learned in Parak Aleph, remember, it's not enough to think this, to want this, to feel this, you have to actually verbalize it. That's the mitzvah of vidui, you have the chiyuv, to verbalize all these different steps. That's remarkable. The Rambam writes that the core of tshuva is not control Z on yesterday, but it's changing what tomorrow is going to look like. And then, let's take a look at Halacha Gemara, and then we'll take a question. The Tanayim in Maseches Tanis talk about It's a very colorful picture, very colorful metaphor for a tshuva process. A tshuva process gone awry. If you think about tshuva, if you think about a mikveh as a metaphor for tshuva, a mikveh that's removing tumah as a metaphor for tshuva removing chet, and that's part of the play on words of the drasha that Rabbi Kiva has at the very end of Maseches Yuma, Ma Mikveh Mitaras Atanei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitaras Yisrael. And he says, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, the Pshusha Mikveh in that Pasuk, it means Mikveh that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Tikva, the hope of Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Kiva Darshan, this additional level of meaning, the fact that the Nav used the word Mikveh, there are other ways to say hope, that indicates, additionally, it's a reference to Mikveh. So what's a reference to Mikveh? Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mikveh for Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Netaher Klal Yisrael. So Rabbi Kiva's point was a point that the Rambam makes earlier in Perek Alpha Lach Gimel, that you shouldn't think that with the fall of the Beis HaMikdash we have no way out of our Chataim. Shouldn't think with the fall of the Beis HaMikdash we no longer can bring Karbanos and therefore we're stuck with our Chet forever. No way to Mechaper the Chet. No! Now Tshuva takes a more central role. That's what Rabbi Kiva is telling us in the Mishnah. Rabbi Rambam is very clear about that at the beginning of Halacha Gimel, Perek Alf, but that's the content of Rabbi Kiva is saying. The imagery that he's using is the mikveh. The mikveh is a way of thinking about Kaparas Havonos, and specifically Kaparas Havonos in a post-Beis HaMikdash reality when it's really primarily about tshuva. With that in mind, Chazal take it and sort of give that mikveh image a twist. Baruch Hashem mentioned the other night, we moved out of Washington Heights, so now we have more wildlife outside the house and less wildlife inside the apartment. But we had six or so wonderful, marvelous years married, living across the street. Mamish, people there. There was something special to be able to look out of the shear window, the window of the shear room, and see my living room window and vice versa. We also had some close encounters inside the apartment, specifically with a couple of friendly mice. So what's the din? What's the din if you handle a mouse? Dead mouse. You handle a live mouse, you handle a live mouse. If you handle a dead mouse, the mouse will want to shmona shratza. The Torah tells us that a dead large animal, or a dead small animal, if it's one of the shmona shratza, if you touch it, become tummy. Okay. So let's say a Jew, there's a mouse in the house. By the time you're done with it, it's ready to follow my MS. So you take the mouse and you dispose of him properly. You give him a respectable disposal. If you handle the mouse, you actually touch the mouse, sheretz is not a type of masa. So if you just picked it up with a dustpan, you never touched it, you're not tummy. But if you pick it up with your finger, you actually touch the mouse, the dead mouse, so you're tummy. Okay. So you're tummy. So now you have to go to Mikvil Bitar. The Chazal say, imagine a Jew who jumps into the mikveh still holding the dead mouse. So, that's absurd. You got to go to the problem before you get a solution. And you can go into the mikveh holding the dead mouse, come out of the mikveh, you haven't accomplished anything, you're still as tummy as you were beforehand. And it's the image, if mikveh is the imagery of the tahara potential of tshuva, tovel v'sheretz biado, is a tshuva that you muted, a tshuva that you made impotent. Take a look at Chazal talk about Maseches Tanis. Take a look at the way the Rambam talks about it in Halacha Gimel. Call him Mizvada B'Dvarim, Perek Beis Halacha Gimel. V'lo gomar b'libo la'azov, a Jew. Klaps al chet, he says a vidu. He just told us the end of Halacha Beis, he got to make sure to say a vidu. It says, if you said a vidu, there was no firm intent, no firm commitment to do as Tarasimus al chet. It's identical, that's analogous to this Jew jumps into the mikvah, still holding the dead man. Tefillah is not going to be effective until you throw away all the sharet before you get in to the mikvah. Okay. So you cropped al chet, but you didn't actually do any real tshuva. Huh? So very nice. You're going through the motions, but you haven't done anything. Now here's what's fascinating. If you take a look at Rashi, Masechet Bein, second paragraph of Masechet Tanis, when the Gemara talks about Tovel v'sharet biyado, the language of the Gemara is Mizvada the Kesef Mishnah. Actually, quotes the language of the Gemara. It says I am an al the Kesef Mishnah beginning of Halacha Gimel. Adam sheish bo avera umizvada ve'eno chozer ba. You were mizvada, but you weren't chozer. So Rashi says that means, yeah, like a guy's a ganav, and he says he's sorry, but he's not actually returning the stolen items. Right? Everyone knows the famous Maisa. It happened next week, but many years ago, supposedly. Matzai Shabashuva, you know, famous Maisa, Matzai Shabashuva, the town ganav. No, you know Tom Ganav comes to the Rav the day after Shabbat Shuva. He's crying a whole sack. Mama, she walks in, crying, Rebbe. I was so moved. The Ganav walks in, the Rav right away is like, well, it's the Rebbe. I was so moved by your drasha. I have to do Shuva. So he brought along the whole sack of all the stolen items that he had. And he says, I want to do tshuva, you have to help me give everything back, and we'll make tikkunim. And the Rav sits with him, and he gives him chizek, but he tells me you have to, you know, maintain a new standard, you have to adopt a new lifestyle, you have to figure out how you reorient your life now. And they go through all the different stolen items, they're going to figure out, you know, how to give it up. And he said, I don't want to hold on to it, Rav, you hold on to it, you give it back. Right? Beautiful. Rav feels wonderful. The God of walks out, he looks so holy. 5 minutes later, the Rebbe walks into her husband's study. Chaim, our silver spoons are missing. She says, I can't be the guy. The guy's such a balchuva, such a tzaddik now. So she's like, Chaim. So they track down the ganav, and they ask him to turn his pockets inside out, and out come all the silver spoons. The Rebbe says, Yankel. What happened? Are they doing tshuvas? The guy did tshuvas. He said, Yankel, silver spoons. Rebbe, you'd have to make parnosa somehow. Okay. That's a problem. Right. So Rashi says, here you have a guy who's clocking al chet. He hasn't even returned the stolen item. So what type of faker? You don't feel, but you're not here fixing yesterday. What's fascinating is that the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says, not, the sheretz biyado is not that I haven't yet fixed the past. The sheretz biyado is lo gomar belibo la'azov. He hasn't made a commitment to tomorrow. You can have pious words about how I feel so bad, but if there's no, for the Rambam, the minimal tshuva is not that I fixed yesterday. The minimal tshuva is that I have a firm plan for tomorrow. So Yankel Vaganov, it's very nice that he feels very bad about what he did, but Rambam says, but if there's no commitment that tomorrow is going to be different, that 5 minutes later on the way out of the Rav's house will be different, then that's not tshuva at all. What's going on here, I believe, is a fundamental machlok between Rambam and Rashi, to Rambam perhaps in many Rishonim. What is the core of tshuva? As we raised on Halacha Beis, Rambam thinks that the core of tshuva is not fixing yesterday. The core of tshuva is being different tomorrow. The core of tshuva is being a baal tshuva, which is something he talks about more in Perek Zayin. But the core of tshuva is that I have changed. So if I have changed, so that's number one is going to mean that I'm going to react to things differently. The Rambam in Halacha Dalet goes on to say, by the way, he starts talking about different darkei hatshuva, or different strategies, different tools you can use. So he says, a person who's doing tshuva from a chatam, he's going to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tzoek tameh, begin malach adalad, lefnei Hashem bevechibus achanunim, crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, giving tzedakah kifikocho as appropriate. Misrachek harbi min adabar shachata bo. He may establish new gedarim for himself to steer clear of something he knows he has a weakness for. Umishane shemo. And changes his name at times. It's a possible tool. Why? Well, what's the significance of changing your name? It's not magic. It's not heebie-jeebie. What's the message of changing your name? Sha'ani acher ve'eini oso ha'isha osa osun hamasim. It's a way of reminding yourself, I'm a new person. I'm not the guy who did that. I've changed. Because again, for the Rambam, the core of tshuva is personal change. Not all of these dark hair tshuva are required in all situations. The fact that I'm doing tshuva for any given chet doesn't mean all of a sudden changing my name or gola mimakomo, but the fact that this is in the list, in the toolbox, is again expresses the Rambam's understanding of tshuva that it's not primarily about yesterday. Mimela, if I make changes, so we think about tshuva, through tshuva you get kaparas havonos. The Rambam, it sounds like that's a happy byproduct. The essence of tshuva, the Rambam, unlike for Rashi in Maseches Tanis, is not fixing yesterday. The essence of tshuva is the dinin the chifts of the gavra. It's not a dinin a particular maisa I did yesterday. It's a dinin me. The core of tshuva is I'm becoming different. I'm becoming different. At the very least, it means tomorrow is going to be different. Ideally, the Rambam wrote in Halacha Beis, it has to be, if I'm really different, I'm going to feel regret for yesterday too. But that's not at the center. And the Kaparas Avonos, that's an added chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I do tshuva, meaning if I become different, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will even give me, what was mentioned in the end of Perek Aleph, he'll give me a kapara for yesterday. But that's not the core of what tshuva is for the Rambam. The essence of tshuva is I'm going to be a different person, which will express itself primarily in I'm not going to do this again. That also helps us with halacha aleph, but a couple of guys are waiting for questions. So let's take some questions, then we'll circle back to halacha aleph. Sammy, you have a question? By last year, you mean last year, last week. Got it. So let me be clear. Right. No one's asking. Here the Rambam is saying that the core of tshuva is changing for tomorrow. When you learned how Perek Aleph, we saw the Rambam has a mitzvah. The mitzvah is a mitzvah of vidui. When you do tshuva, there's a mitzvah to do tshuva via vidui. And what he spoke about is, well, one of the ideas that came up is, well, I don't need a mitzvah of tshuva. Tshuva is the mela. Yeah. I didn't mean to, let me be clear. I did not mean to say a tshuva is easy or, psychologically speaking, automatic. What I did mean is the need for tshuva is, and particularly, I actually like what you're pointing out, particularly with the Rambam's understanding of what tshuva is, the definition of what tshuva is. It's not that tshuva is easy or automatic, but it is true that tshuva is already built into the halachic system without having a separate mitzvah. Particularly, as you're pointing out, particularly for the Rambam, for whom the core essence of tshuva is azivas achet, is switching to a new derech for tomorrow. So of course, regardless of whether I said Shema yesterday or not, I have a chiyuv to say Shema tomorrow. I don't need a mitzvah of tshuva for that. The mitzvah of Shema requires I say Shema tomorrow, and the next day, and the day after that, and the day after that. So of course, I want to need a separate mitzvah of tshuva to tell me to do tomorrow the mitzvah you didn't do yesterday. Anyways, I have to. It doesn't mean it's easy. It may be incredibly difficult. And again, every person has his own profile of which nesilnas are easier for him, which nesilnas are more difficult. If I'm grappling with something which for me is very challenging, so it was also a mitzvah yesterday. It was on the books yesterday too, and I didn't do it. So I may well not do it tomorrow, even though it's on the books. Or tomorrow. Okay, so now I have to figure out, I'm going to need strategies. Tshuva isn't easy, but it is already halachically mandated without a separate mitzvah. Yeah. Nadav?
Yeah, the Rambam starts halacha aleph with
halacha beis. Marvelous. That was a question we left hanging before. An excellent segue. So now we're ready to come back. Thank you. Now we're ready to come back to why Rambam, let's go back to the way Rambam began the parak. Halacha Beis, as Nadav just pointed out, he says, what is tshuva? And here he gives us the core essence of what tshuva is. It's about personal change. And that expresses itself as well as reverberates Halacha Gimel, Tovah Sheres B'Yodah, reverberates Halacha Dalet in terms of Mashan Hashmo. And he's really setting us up for it in Halacha Aleph, where he asks what seems like it's the second level question. Ezoi tshuva gemura, which is complete tshuva, as opposed to incomplete tshuva. Zeshabal yado davash avarbo. This is not the Rambam's Chiddush. He's quoting, as the Kesem Mishnah tells you, a gemara at the very end of Maseches Yuma. But it was Rambam's Chiddush to position it at the head of the parak. Zeshabal yado davash avarbo. You have a Jew who had violated some chet or another, be'am l'chaber, be'am l'makam, whatever it may be. And I'm about to give a particular example that Chazal did. That should be yado lasos. And now he comes back to the situation. He had done that beira, and the assumption is, and then he did shuva, and now he's back in the same situation. At Yonah. There's Rambam calls in the Paragil Pascal, there's Rambam calls to James. Second, now you're back in the same situation again. And you act differently. Pirish flow also, and this time the same situation, the same set of choices, same set of options, and I made a different decision. Bepnei HaTshuva, and I made a different decision because of my tshuva. Lo miyira, lo mikishlon koach. I didn't choose differently this time because I'm scared. I didn't choose differently this time because I lack capacity, I lack the strength. Ketzad, what's an example, Rambam writes? A sexual chet. Guy had a girlfriend, was on him with a girlfriend. And then he's alone with her later on. And he still is attracted to her. And to the same extent. He's still the same physical capacity. Medina Sha'avarba. And he's in the same country where the chet had happened the first time. That's very fascinating, as an aside. As though that's one of the key components. The Rambam is highlighting something which he talks about earlier in Sefer Amada, Hilchas Day, is beginning of Perek Vav, talks about the power that social context has on the decisions that we make. Because to be in the same situation as last time, and not only to have the same motivation, to have the same physical capacity to perform the same opportunity, but part of our opportunity is not only the physical capacity, it's also the social setting. The Medina Sha'avarba, and this time, Pirish V'lo Avar. And this time he had the same opportunity, the same desire to mizan with the girl again, and he walks away. Hu Baal Tshuva Gemura. Here's a man of complete, that's a complete job of tshuva. Hu Sheshlomo Omer, and he says that's the significance of the psukim at the end of Kohelet. When he's zolchit to his psukim, almost exactly 2 weeks ago. So at the very end of the Kael's last parak, a lot of Kael's plays a lot with imagery of aging, of being young and being old. He has both metaphors for aging, and he also uses aging as metaphors for other things. A lot of intertwining in the last parak of Kael's. So Rama here quotes the pasuk, "Uzuchoris bara'echa b'mei b'churasecha." Remember your Creator when you're still young. Before the bad days, the days of badness come. Before a time in your life comes, and you say, I no longer have any desire. In other words, do tshuva when you still are in the same, when you still have the capacity to do the chet, and you can choose not to. As opposed to, im lo shav el bimei ziknuso. If you didn't do tshuva until he was older, but HCF should have lost his Mashaya Osa. A fellow's 85 years old. And now he's thinking back over his life. And now he's regretting things that he had done in the past. He can't do those things now anyhow, whether he regrets them or not. They're not it. If it's the example the Rambam gave of a sexual chet, and he no longer have the physical capacity, he may no longer have the same desire. Or if a fellow's 85 years old, he may lack the opportunity to do many chatam. It may be because of age, it may be because of different circumstances, different situations. I spent 4 years of high school with a certain fellow, and I used to nag him, and I used to yank his chain, and I used to drop one-liners that made everyone laugh, and made him cry inside, but he had to laugh alone with everyone else, because that's what people do, right? And then we went our separate ways, and 3 years later, I feel terrible that I used to make fun of the guy, but now we're not in the same place. Like 10 years later, like, revolt. 10 years later, I'm talking, 15 years later, I'm explaining to my own son, you know, you got to be sensitive to the other kids in the bus. And then I start remembering, you know, when I was on a bus, there was a kid in the bus I used to push around. Right? What? Yeah. Okay, that you missed your chance for Zacharas Barachav and Mebuchadnezzar Secha. Because you no longer have the, hopefully by the time you're 35, you no longer have the desire to make fun of that kid on the bus. And even if you do, he's not on a bus. I mean, maybe you're both still, you know, taking the train to work together. But you don't have the desire, you don't have the opportunity. Situations have changed. So if you wait to do tshuva, if you're machmitz, the opportunity to do tshuva, you wait until the situation is gone, for whatever reason, without it depending on what the ched is. Rambam says, afa pi she'ena tshuva me'ula. It's not ideal tshuva, it's not optimal, but mo'elos hi lo bal tshuva. You should don't think, and now that I'm 35, and it's been a long time since I had the opportunity or the desire to annoy that kid, don't think you can't do tshuva. No, you can do tshuva when you're 35, you can do tshuva when you're 95. It still works, but it's not ideal. Rambam goes on to say, v'il avar kal yama v'asa tshuva yom isaso, u'meis b'tshuvaso, kol avanoso v'nimchalam. Even if, and this is based on a series of different agados throughout Shas and Midrashim, stories of Jews who did tshuva way later, the end of the last day of their lives. Elazar ben Judaya and other stories. Asa tshuva yom isaso, umeis b'tshuvaso, but he dies in a state of tshuva, kol avanoso v'nimchalam. It will work. And going back to Pesukim Kohelas, he says, don't wait. I shall techshach hashemesh v'ha'or v'aref v'kochavim. And don't wait until the sun and the light and the moon and the stars all go dark. It doesn't sound very astronomical. It's not. It's a metaphor. What would that mean? V'shavu'avim achar ha'geshem. And the rain stops and the rain clouds are gone too. Zeh yom ha'misha, hu yom ha'misha. That's a reference that says, don't wait until you die to do tshuva. When everything goes out, the sun, the moon, the stars, all the systems just stop. Don't wait that long. So, Michlal, Shem Zohar Bor, Vishav Kodim Shiyamus, Nisnachal. Sounds like ideally it should be made Bechur Asecha, but as long as you chew it during your lifetime, it's going to be impactful. Okay, certainly a sobering paragraph to read. Okay. Good way to kickstart the 7 official days of Hachan of Yom Kippur. That's the first Mishnah of Asecha's Yuma. Even the days of Beis HaMikdash, today was the first day of the Kohen Gadol's Achan of Yom Kippur. It's sobering, very, very... Halacha Aleph, in its own right, gives us a lot of food for thought. It's also a setup to more fully appreciate or to highlight Mohi HaTshuva. Because for the Rambam, let me ask you a question. Certainly, a lot of sobering material, right? Thinking about mortality is very sobering. But why is it tshuva ma'ula? Why is it not ma'ula? It is, but it does count, but it's not ideal if I never put it to the test. Why? I did achet, it's terrible, I did tshuva, and hey, I thought you were going to take me to run my way again. Why is this better or worse? The other day, or
the entire arc of the Rambam for tshuva was for the future.
Oh,
regardless of what he does
Oh, yeah? Yeah, good metrics, yeah?
Because in all likelihood, the reason why you did the sin in the first place wasn't, you didn't go very clear, like you're going to intentionally do the mitzvah. It was a temptation, so if you don't put it to the test, then probably what happened was before you also said, oh, I'm not going to do it. But then when it came to the actual temptation, you fell. So even though you do tshuva now, the same manner that you fell before, you can fall now.
Oh, okay, good. Adding even more teeth to the need to test it. There was one more voice up here. What has happened before? No? So. That? Sure.
So I think that Dalit would then have to specify that it was a theft of Tava, because Dalit only did a lot of the desire to do it, as opposed to if it was that intentionally out of the second for some other reason. So Dalit would just specify that it was a theft of
Tava. But I think we see in a lot of areas a lot of that. That when it doesn't refer to Shabbat Avira, it refers to Avira's Taiva. The most common Avira referred to.
Let's wrap both ideas and all the threads together. The Rambam in Perek Beis Halacha Beis, when he defined tshuva, he already had the ultimate way to measure things, Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? That language is very striking. He said, Yod Olam Yodei Talumin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imei, that I wouldn't do the chet again. Meaning, in the context of Halacha Aleph. And as you point out, number one, clearly Halacha Aleph, it sings beautifully in the context of the Rambam's approach to tshuva. The tshuva is primarily prospective, forward-looking, as opposed to retrospective. So it makes a whole lot of sense that tshuva that can get me somewhere, tshuva that could be put into play, is going to be more meaningful. But more meaningful on two levels. More meaningful as a siman, more meaningful as a siba. In other words, it's a metric, it's a way of showing, oh, you see, I can measure how real the tshuva was, how it actually worked. It was a real commitment. I can see there was a real commitment, because after all, when the situation came around again, Taka rose to the occasion. Clearly, it was a real tshuva. So now in terms of that, okay, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what's going on inside of me, as Ram points out, al-Khabez, even if the situation never comes up again. So it certainly is a tshuva, as Rabbi was stressing Halacha Aleph, it is a tshuva. I may have undergone real azivas hachet. I really have firm commitment not to do this again. I never had the opportunity. But at the same time, and maybe there's also something missing, in not on the siman level, but on the sibul level. In other words, yes, so I really deeply regret this chet, and I wouldn't do it again. But it still might not be the same, not just in terms of measuring how strong my commitment is, but if it's not being put into practice, and particularly if I know that it cannot be put into practice, it's hard to say that I got into a new derech. This is not one of my options anymore. So that's presumably why the Rambam is saying, it is tshuva, I did a ziv sachet, yisirena machshavto, but I have changed. I am this no longer the sort of person that would do that sort of thing again. But it's not just that it's hard for us to measure it, it's that it's not as profoundly true. I'm not on a different derech. In theory, I wouldn't do it again. But I'm not really on a different path in life, because that's not something that's going to come up. Maybe there'll be other situations that will come up. So then it can be put into play. I'm no longer interested in ranking on that 14-year-old in the bus, but there'll be other people in life. I have an atiyah to make fun of people, so then I'll meet other people in life with whom I'll have the taiva to be less than pleasant, with whom I'll have the taiva to violate lav d'oraisa v'noaz dvar. So it'll come up in other situations. But to the extent that I really don't have the opportunity to do this chet again, so it's no longer as actionable. It's tshuva, it's aziva sachet in potential, but it's not aziva sachet lemasa. But again, this is, let me end this with one thing, and then there are more hands, but at the same time, you have to be sensitive to time, at least somewhat sensitive to time. But let me end with one nakuda. And that is part of the practical significance of this approach is it in a sense makes tshuva more doable. For many people, facing up to yesterday is very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. So, to Rashi's standard that my tshuva is worthless unless I fully fixed yesterday, that's a very high standard. Rambam's standard, Rambam is clear, charata is a key element of tshuva, but it is not the ma'akev element of tshuva. It's not the core element of tshuva in halacha beis, and it's not ma'akev in halacha gimel. What's ma'akev is kabbalah asid. Not that kabbalah asid is easy. It's plenty difficult also to have a real plan for change and to really be committed and to really follow through in it. That's tough. But it's sometimes less painful than, if you're a practical-minded person, it may be easier to get to work first on, let's have a plan for how tomorrow's going to be different. And then later on, I'll deal with the emotional mess of confronting the fact that yesterday was something I'm not proud of. I ultimately have to confront yesterday, but for the Rambam, I can begin with thinking about planning for tomorrow. I have to obviously do cheshbon nefesh and figure out what it is that needs change. But I don't have to, but fully fixing yesterday can come later. The first step of the Rambam is figuring out a real actionable plan for tomorrow, which for some people is an easier way to start.